We are in the midst of Ashwapati's description of a vision, a living vision that he had, and he is describing how the pioneers of the new age were descending from above into the little room of mortal life compared to the infinite vasts from where they come. Our mortal world looks like a small little room. I saw them cross the twilight of an age. That means one age is going, another age is coming, and in between there is the twilight. It is neither dark nor there is light. Whom did he see? I saw them cross the twilight of an age, the sun-eyed children of a marvelous dawn. It was a marvelous dawn, and they were children whose eyes were like suns, because the sun is to come. The great creators with wide brows of calm. Once again, a very familiar imagery of Sri Aurobindo, who always describes how a background of calm, a status of peace is indispensable for any creative effort to proceed. Here he says, the great creators with wide brows of calm. Their brows were full of calm, and they were massive barrier breakers of the world. Whatever barriers are there in this world for the new creation, they were massively breaking those barriers. We have and restless with destiny in our lists of will, these young children, pioneers, they didn't accept destiny as it came. They wrestled with destiny. They opposed their own will to the will of the destiny. The laborers in the quarries of the gods. Imagery is, there are huge mines, like gold mines, silver mines. These are something supernatural mines owned by the gods, and these pioneers were laborers working to bring out the precious things from the mines. The messengers of the incommunicable, from the human end, one can't communicate with that truth, but they are the messengers bringing intimations from that reality, the architects of immortality. They are the persons who are going to build here immortality in a world of mortality. They are coming to build immortality into the fallen human sphere. They came, faces that wore the immortal's glory still, though they have entered into this imperfect human sphere, they still have on their face that immortal glory. It is not lessened. Voices that commune still with the thoughts of God, their voices were products of communion with the thoughts of God, not with the thoughts of the mind. Bodies made beautiful by the Spirit's light, not by external decorations, not by outer embellishments, but by the light of the Spirit, carrying the magic word, word that creates the moment it is uttered, the mystic fire, mystic to show that it is has a divine quality about it, carrying the Dionysian cup of joy. That is, Dionysian belongs to the god of wine. That wine is, the joy is so intoxicating, as if one has drunk from the cup of the Dionysian, god of wine. Approaching eyes of a diviner man, as they are coming, he sees their eyes, they are not human, but of a diviner man, not of an ordinary man, mortal man, but of a diviner man. Lips chanting an unknown anthem of the soul. Their lips were uttering something. They were the chants, celebrating the glory of the soul. Feet echoing in the corridors of time, because they are coming somewhere beyond time, and as they step into the domain of time, their feet are echoing in the corridors, in the passages of time. High priests of wisdom, sweetness, might and bliss, discoverers of beauty's sunlit ways, the path, the ways, the roads of beauty, which are always bright, and swimmers of love's laughing fiery floods. They swim in the floods. What kind of floods? Laughing, fiery floods of love. They swim in that. That is, they participate in the manifestation of love. And dancers within rapture's golden doors, full of rapture. It is a chamber of rapture, golden to indicate their truth origin. Their tread one day shall change this suffering earth. Such are the great beings, the sun-eyed children of dawn, the pioneers. And their tread shall surely change the face of the suffering earth and justify the light on nature's face with all the difficulties, with all the obstructions, with all the clouds, there is still a light on the face of nature. Very unreasonable, but still they will justify that the light had a reason to be there, because nature knows what is to come. That tread one day shall change this suffering earth and justify the light on nature's face. Although fate lingers in the high beyond, we really do not know what exactly is going to be the fate. It is still hiding there, and the work seems vain on which our heart's force was spent. We have spent all along our force, our emotions, our energies of heart, but all that work turns out to be in vain. In spite of it, though the fate is not showing its face here yet, in spite of the fact that all the work that we have done appears to be vain, in vain, all shall be done for which our pain was borne. We have doubtless endured, borne so much of pain for a particular objective, and that shall be done. Even as a fold, man came behind the beast, that is, in the evolutionary course, just as beast came first and afterwards man, this high divine successor surely shall come behind man's inefficient mortal pace. Man is walking in a very inefficient pace, speed. Behind him, the divine successor shall come. Behind his vain labor, sweat and blood and tears of the mortal man, he shall know what mortal mind barely dares think. The human mind can hardly dare to think of certain possibilities, but he knows. He shall do what the heart of the mortal could not dare. Inheritor of the toil of human time all along, he shall take on him the burden of the gods. All heavenly light shall visit the earth's thoughts as a consequence of their coming, as a consequence of his succeeding man. All heavenly light shall visit the earth's thoughts. Earth's thoughts will no longer be pursued by the shadow of ignorance. The might of heaven shall fortify earthly heart. Earthly hearts will no more be shaking, agitated. The might of God, the might of heaven shall strengthen, shall fortify. Earth's deeds shall touch superhuman's height. As at present, the highest deeds of the earth don't go beyond the human range. But then, when these pioneers will have done their work, they will touch the superhuman's height, earth seeing widen into the infinite. It will no more be constricted in the boundaries of the finite, but will widen, expand into the infinite. Now all this is going to be, but at present, he says, I know all these things is going to happen, but as things stand, heavy, unchained ways till the imperfect world. The splendid youth of time has passed and failed. Time was when time was young. Now time has become old. It has passed. It has failed to achieve anything. Heavy and long are the years our labor counts. We have put in hard labor, and all those years are heavy and long. And with all that, in spite of our effort, in spite of the passage of time, still the seals are firm upon man's soul. The seals, the badges, which tie man down to the earth, they are firm, and weary is the ancient mother's heart. Ancient mother is the earth mother. She has borne so much. She has struggled so long that now her heart is weary, fatigued, tired. And now he addresses her, the divine power. O truth, defended in thy secret sun, you are not accessible. You are covered by your secret radiance. Voice of our mighty musings in shut heavens on things withdrawn within her luminous depths. That is, she goes, her mighty musings, contemplations and thoughts, they are close to us, closed. They are shut and they are concentrated on things which are withdrawn from us, which are lost in her luminous depths. Now of those contemplations, thou art the voice. Voice of her mighty musings in shut heavens, on things shut, heavens are shut on things withdrawn within her luminous depths. O wisdom, splendor, mother of the universe, creatrix, the eternal's artist bride. Here he is sure with those, that soft touch. After saying splendor, creatrix, he says, the eternal's artist bride. Linger not long with thy transmuting hand pressed vainly on one golden bar of time. Time is like a harp, and her hand is pressed on one bar. It is not moving. He says, linger not long with thy transmuting hand. Thy hand is capable of transmuting. Pressed vainly on one golden bar of time, as if time dare not open its heart to God. Why are you hesitating? As if time cannot reveal its contents to God, so you are not taking your hand off that golden bar of time. O radiant fountain of the world's delight, world free and unattainable above, O bliss, whoever dwells deep hid within, thou art unattainable there. Thou art transcendent of the worlds, worlds. But you are, you dwellest deep hid within, within each person. Thou dwellest. O bliss, whoever dwells deep hid within, while men seek thee outside and never find. That's the tragedy of man. He seeks for God, he seeks for the divine outside, and he will never find it, because the divine is here, hidden himself, within himself. Mystery and muse with hieratic tongue, hieratic priestly tongue. Whatever the tongue says, it comes true. Thou embodied mystery. Muse is the goddess of poetry, of contemplation, of poetry. Mystery and muse with hieratic tongue, incarnate the white passion of thy force. He tells her, incarnate, put out from thyself the white passion of thy force, pure passion of thy force. Mission to earth, some living form of thee, thy own form and a living form, send on earth charged with a mission. Incarnate the white passion of thy force, mission to earth, some living form of thee. One moment, fill with thy eternity. Just for a moment, you come and fill it with thy infinite eternity. Let thy infinity in one body live. she whom thou art going to incarnate, in that body let thy infinity live. All knowledge, wrap one mind in seas of light. She should be such that her mind must float in the seas of light. And in those seas of light she shall find the knowledge. All love throbs single in one human heart. All the love in the universe shall throb in one single focus, in one human heart. Immortal, treading the earth with mortal feet, all heaven's beauty crowd in earthly limbs. Earthly limbs, physical body that she will be having, there those limbs shall be crowded with all the beauty of heaven. Omnipotence addressing her, because she is the embodiment of omnipotence. Girdled with the power of God, movements and moments of a mortal will. Here on earth there are moments of human will, there are movements of human will. Girdle them, circle them with the power of God so that they can be effective. Back with eternal might, one human hour. In one human hour, press all thy might and with one gesture change all future time. With a single gesture, action, all the future time shall be changed. Let a great word be spoken from the heights and one great act unlock the doors of fate. He sums up, speak out that one great word from the heights and do that one great act which will unlock the doors of fate, that will break the hold of fate. This was his prayer, his address. His prayer sank down in the resisting night, oppressed by the thousand forces that deny. Whenever there is an intense prayer, whenever there is an upward movement, there is always a denial, an obstruction by the forces of darkness, of beings that do not want us to go up, go ahead. Now his prayer also was resisted by the night, means the night symbolizing darkness, oppressed by the thousand forces that deny, as if too weak to climb to the Supreme. He feels as if the way his prayer sank down, he feels it has been too weak to climb up to the Supreme. But there arose a wide consenting voice. He hears a voice wide and consenting, giving her consent. The spirit of beauty was revealed in sound. It was beautiful. Light floated round the marvelous vision's brow. He sees a vision. That figure around that brow, light floated. And on her lips, the immortal joy took shape. As she speaks, it is inundated with the joy of the immortal. And she says, O strong forerunner, to Ashwapati, I have heard thy cry. One shall descend and break the iron law. Iron law that holds everybody in captivity so long. One shall descend, one person, and break the iron law change nature's doom by the lone spirit's power. Nobody will be helping. It will act alone. A limitless mind that can contain the world. A sweet and violent heart of ardent calms, moved by the passion of the gods, shall come. Such a mind, such a heart, impelled by the intensities of the gods, shall come to earth. All mights and greatnesses shall join in her. Beauty shall walk celestial on the earth. Beauty undimmed, unshadowed, in her pure celestial glory, shall walk on earth. Delight shall sleep in the cloud net of her hair. Her hair is imaged as a cloud net, net of clouds. In that delight shall sleep. Delight will ooze out of her hair. And in her body, as on his homing tree, immortal love shall beat his glorious wings. Immortal love is compared to imaged as a bird, and just as a bird sits and beats his wings on a tree, which is his home, bird flies, comes back, sits where it feels secure, and on that homing tree which is acts as a home, the bird happily beats its wings. So, in her body, immortal love shall beat his glorious wings. A music of griefless things shall weave her charm. There will be a music, but without grief, without interruption. And as the music proceeds, charm will be woven. Our earthly music is full of pain and sorrow. But this one, music of griefless things. The harps of the perfect shall attune her voice as she speaks. The harps of the gods shall be in tune with her voice. The streams of heaven shall murmur in her laugh. Her lips shall be honeycombs of God. They will be oozing with the compassion of God. Her limbs, his golden jars of ecstasy. Her breasts, the rapture flowers of paradise. Her body will hold the joy and the rapture and the beauty of gods. She shall bear wisdom in her voiceless bosom. Strength shall be with her like a conqueror's sword, and from her eyes the eternal's bliss shall gaze. Though in her hands there is the strength, in her eyes there will be the bliss of the eternal looking on the world. A seed shall be sown in death's tremendous hour. It will be a moment of death. It is only when Satyavan dies that Savitri manifests her power. A seed shall be sown in death's tremendous hour, a branch of heaven transplant to human soil. At that moment, a branch of a heavenly tree shall be transplanted and planted and shall be transferred and planted on the human soil. And as a consequence, nature shall overleap her mortal step. Nature has been used to a particular rhythm, a particular pace. Nature shall overleap her mortal step. Fate shall be changed by an unchanging will. The unchanging will of the divine shall completely transmute the decrees of fate. Now this is her boon. assuring him that one shall descend and break the iron law and so on. And thereafter, Ashwapati returns, and we have one more session. We will complete the canto next time.